Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands to Him right now? Lord, You are so great. Name above all names, God. Hallelujah. We've come to worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, mighty God, to be in Your presence, God. Let our hearts sing praises to Your name, Jesus. As we lift our hands, as we lift our voice, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, God. We magnify your precious name, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. While you're standing, if you have your Bibles, Psalm chapter number 138. We are continuing in our Sunday school series entitled The Heart and Hope of a Christian. This morning, our lesson is reverence for the Word of God. Reverence for the Word of God. As you're turning to Psalms 138, I was thinking as we were singing that song, we sing songs like, How Great is Our God? And then I asked the question, well, what is some of the ways we know how great God is? And I begin to think, well, one of the ways is we look into His Word. And we see what He's done in the past. It brings faith for us to believe Him to work in our present. And as He works His greatness in our presence, our present time, it helps us believe for the future. Amen? And so we're going to talk this morning about reverencing the Word of God. Psalms chapter 138, verse number 2. The psalmist writes, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And in preparation for this, I thought, and so I put a note here in the notes from the lesson. Without the word, we would not know how meaningful the name is. I'm going to say that again. Without the word, we would not know how meaningful the name is. The word reveals the name, and thereby we understand its significance. We understand the significance of the name because of what we read in regard to the name. Amen? God bless you for standing. You may be seated. There's other lesson texts that I will read here momentarily, which we will reference during the lesson this morning. And one of those passages is found in Psalm chapter 119. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there as you're seated and begin reading in verse number 65. Psalms 119 says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted and I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Lord, you're good and you do good. Teach me how to be good and to do good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with all my heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And then we're going to go to a passage in Nehemiah chapter number 8. And before I read, beginning at verse number 4, I want to give you a little backdrop. Many of you know in the book of Nehemiah, it talks about rebuilding the city of Jerusalem, rebuilding the walls. And the people have made their way back, and now there is somewhat of a, you might even call it a dedication ceremony, if you will. But they have gathered together, the Bible says, in the street before the water gate. And Ezra the priest, or the scribe, begins to read the word of the Lord. Now, understanding, at that point in time, what they had in regards to the word of the Lord was the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the law. And here Ezra is reading the first five books of the Bible, what they had available at that time, what was written up until that point. But the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, if you look at it, the Bible says that they gather early in the morning and he reads until midday. They gathered early in the morning and he read until midday. Now, even if early morning for you is 7 o'clock in the morning and midday is noon, folks, that means he stood and he read the Bible for 5 hours. Sometimes we find it hard to stand for the reading of the text. For 5 hours. The Bible also said that Ezra stood on a pulpit made of wood. It's there, you can read it. Now, I'm not going to stand on this pulpit. I don't trust my balance. I trust the sturdiness of the pulpit, but that's not my forte. I don't stand up on pulpits. But the Bible says he stood up on a platform, we would say, made of wood, and he was above all the people. And then I'm going to read in verse number 4. Here it is, Nehemiah chapter 8. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. They made a pulpit. They made a platform so that Ezra could stand above the people and read the word of God. And he did so for somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 hours. And they stood. And Ezra the scribe made a pulpit, or they stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for that purpose, and beside him stood. Now, there's a lot of names here, so if I get them wrong, well, you can correct me later. Mattathiah and Shemaiah and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah, Messiah on his right hand, on his left hand, Pedaiah and Mishael and Melchiah and Hashem, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people when he opened it, and all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua and Benai, Sherebiah and Jamin and Ekub, Shabbathiah, Hojiah, Messiah and Kelida, Azariah and Jozabad, and Hananiah, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Stood. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They didn't just read, they took time to expound upon the reading. They didn't just read, they took time to make sure the people understood the sense of what was being read. The Bible said they read it distinctly. And Nehemiah, Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites taught the people and said to the people, Today is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They're crying, they're weeping as the law is being read. And he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet and send the portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, there's something you need to understand in this passage before I go any further. If you're going to find joy in living for God, you're going to find it in the Word of God. It's not going to be based upon your feelings. It's going to be based upon your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. Because as I stated earlier, as we read the Word of God, we interact with the history, or we interact with the knowledge and understanding of how great our God is in the past, how He works in our present, and how He's going to work in our future. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so you and I are able to have joy as a result of our interaction with the Word of God. Here's the focus thought. Proper reverence and obedience to God's word will bring blessings to any individual or congregation, and we should recognize the need for and cultivate a love for the word. The word of God. Begin to think of it this way. We live in an increasingly irreverent culture. While this is revealed in numerous areas of our society, one that is blatantly obvious is the area of irreverence for the word of God. They no longer believe it to be something that is applicable to their lives. And if they do, sometimes and many times, it's on a pick and choose basis. They will pick out the blessings, they will pick out the promises that they want, but then they will kind of dispel the precepts and principles that they don't feel should apply to their lives. They treat the Word of God as a buffet. Take what you want, leave what you don't. But we need to understand that if ever there is a time for the people of God to reverence the Word of God and to uphold it and to stand firm upon it, now is the time. The Bible is no ordinary book. More Bibles are still printed every year than any other book. No book has undergone as many translations or been printed in as many different languages as the Bible. It still reigns supreme as the most published book. Its presence has solemnized the oaths of numerous kings and presidents as they placed their hand upon its cover and recited words from its pages. Even today, when they take the oath of office, they lay their hand upon the Bible. Its words have brightened the writings of the world's best authors. Its teachings are the catalyst for the development of Western civilization. Our founding fathers were men who reverenced the Word of God. Numerous citations in the Declaration of Independence are biblical references or biblical principles. Take time, sometime, to read the Declaration of Independence. Read some of the original documents of our founding fathers. And if you know the Word of God, you will know that they were men of God who believed in the Word of God. Numerous principles, ethics, moral laws, etc., have their foundations in the Word of God. We, even our basic law structure in Western civilization, much of it is based upon the law of God. In reference to stealing, in reference to committing murder, many of the moral laws that we uphold and that we use as the basis for our daily living, the principles are located in the Word of God. They originated in the Word of God. So this lesson is designed to reveal the satisfying delights and the life-changing power of the Bible, God's Word. Just think about it in reference to other books. How do we recognize the relevance of the Word of God? How do we look at it in light of all the other publications and things that are there? What so sets it apart? And I know the easy answer is that it's God-inspired, that it's God's breathed. But let's look at the Bible as a book. Let's look at it in reference to other books. What is so different about the Bible as opposed to all other books or all other publications? What sets it apart and makes it distinct? What makes it so still relevant in our lives? Well, the first thing we need to understand is that every other book is a compilation of human thought and opinion. Think about it. Although the literary form may vary, an encyclopedia is quite different from a collection of poems. A poem is quite different from a cookbook. A cookbook is quite different than a novel. A fiction novel, quite different than a nonfiction biography. But when we think about these things, the true understanding is that all of these types of literature record facts that are accessible to human research and or opinions based upon human thought. The origin. The origination comes from human mind. That is not the case with the Word of God. If we truly believe that it is God breathed, that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, that God is the author, and those other some 42 writers who wrote were inspired by God to write what they wrote, then we have to believe that what sets the Bible apart from every other publication and every other book is that it is from the mind of God. It is not based, nor does it originate in human thought and human understanding. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his thoughts above our thoughts, and his ways above our ways. It, the Bible, the Word of God, is God's Word. See, we need to understand that the rebellion of humanity, of mankind, has badly blurred our spiritual vision. He sees himself, nor does he see God as clearly as he should. I'm going to say that again. Because of sin, we don't see ourselves as we should, nor do we see God as we should. Our vision is blurred by our rebellion. Our vision is blurred by our carnal nature. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We need to understand that we need the Word of God so much because without it, we easily go astray. Without it, we easily walk another way which does not lead us to Him. It does not show us His heart. It does not reveal His mind. It reveals all human intention. And it's based upon a consummation of our own lust and desires. And so if I'm going to be steered correctly in my life, order my steps in Your Word, dear Lord. Because without Your Word as a roadmap to lead me and to guide me, to give me direction in my life, I will most assuredly detour and be led into destruction. You see, to salute the Bible is one thing. To acknowledge it is one thing. But to surrender to it is something altogether different. See, the sacred writings of world's prominent religions, they have a semblance of deity. They many of them ascribe to deity. Many of those that I would consider to be false doctrine because they do not align with the Word of God. Many of those individuals have to try to give them some type of validation by saying an angel came to them and spoke to them, by somehow attaching some type of supernatural experience or supernatural encounter that gives them some validity beyond their own human thought and reasoning. They try to make it and align it with the Word of God as if it is God-breathed or divinely inspired. Think about it. That's how many of the, what I would say, without a doubt, are false religions do not align with the Word of God. Because they do not originate from God. They originate from human reasoning. But let's talk about us. Let's talk about us believers who believe in the Word of God. Certainly we can respect the contribution the Scriptures have made to our society. We can look at our culture and say, yes, the Word of God is necessary. But how do we really take the Word of God and apply it to our individual everyday lives? Why is it so essential? And why, as Pastor talked about us having a devotion and having a walk with God wherein we read our Bibles and we interact with the Word of God? One of the reasons why is because the Word of God has transformation power. Thought I'd get a few more amens on that one. The Word of God has transformation power. It transforms the way I think. Because many times I will come with my own preconceptions or my own ideas or my own ideology, which once again is based upon human thought, human reasoning. And when I come to the Word of God and begin to read the Word of God, all of a sudden I recognize something different. I recognize that it often does not align with my human reasoning and understanding. it transform. If I allow it to, it will transform to where my opinion matters less and what he says matters more. Where the way I perceive something, the way I believe something gives way to say, okay, God, your word says different and your word supersedes my thought and my understanding, so I will follow your word. Peter talked about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 through 18. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Can I paraphrase what the Apostle Peter is saying? He's saying, listen, before you interacted with the Word of God, before you understood the principles and the precepts of the Word of God, you were as disobedient children. You are fashioning yourselves according to your own lust in your ignorance because you didn't know better. You were who you were and you acted like you acted and you did what you did because you didn't understand that you should do different. But when you come in contact with the Word of God, but as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. When you start looking into the perfect law of liberty, it starts showing you where you were ignorant, where you were wrong, where you weren't doing stuff that was good, and you were doing stuff that was bad. And it transforms you. Look at, because if you go on to verse number 23 of that same chapter, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God. How would I know what it takes to be born again? But by the word of God. How would I know what it takes to be holy? But by the word of God. How would I know what it means to be sanctified and separate and set apart? But by the word of God. It helps me to understand how I am different and should be different. I need the word of God. It contains the foundation of what God wants us to know about our relationship with him. It's abiding. It's living. It's infused by God himself. Why? Because the very next phrase says, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Not only does it transform me, not only does it awaken me to the ignorance that I once lived in as a disobedient child, it now shows me how to abide. It now shows me how to be pleasing unto God. It now shows me his will and his way. It shows me his principles and his precepts for living as he would have me to live. It gives me instruction in righteousness. The Bible's message is powerful enough to penetrate our hearts and produce permanent change. I'm going to say that again. Produce permanent change. It can and will change me. As I read the Word of God and I interact with the Word of God, it will change me. Many times it's believers come in and they are born again. It is essential for them to understand that this is just the beginning. Now you have to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Now you have to spend time being instructed in righteousness. You have to come and you have to hear the anointed word of God preach. You have to come and interact with people who are endeavoring like you to live separate lives, sanctified unto God. That's essential to your growth and your maturity in spirit. And so you and I are the same thing, if you will, that got us from the stage of being born again to now growing and maturing in God is the same thing that's going to keep us growing and maturing. It is the word of God. We will never reach a place in our walk and relationship with God where we do not need His Word. We will never become so spiritual that we don't need to open the book and look at Scripture. We will never become so righteous that we don't need to look in the Word of God and realize there are things I'm still doing wrong. We need the Word of God. As we read this Word of God and it transforms us and it keeps us abiding in Him and doing His will, we recognize how really important the Word is. And we begin to reverence it. We begin to hold its principles and its precepts above that of our society and our culture. Think about it. We do not give way to what other laws may be made if they are not. They are not founded. They are not found here in this Word. I don't care how many sign up. I don't care what the popular vote is. If it is not in accordance with the Word of God, it is not something that will have me abiding in Him. See, there are and should be stages in development of our attitudes towards the Bible. As we grow in our walk and relationship with Him, first and often as we study Scripture, it may seem a little bit distasteful, maybe a little bit bitter, because we don't understand, because we were walking in ignorance and fulfilling our own lusts, and now it tells us that that way that we walked was wrong, and now we're endeavoring to walk the way that is right. And at first, sometimes it's shocking. Sometimes when people come in to the things of God and they begin reading the Word of God, they begin realizing. It's amazing. I don't know if you've ever encountered this, but I've encountered with people that said, I did that my whole life. I never even realized that I shouldn't have been doing that. I didn't recognize that that was wrong. But when they interact with the Word of God, they understand. It's important that I understand. It's important that I look here, and it helps me, and it leads me, and it guides me. I kind of like to make this parallel. If I were to give an object lesson, maybe I would set the Bible here and put a box of grape nut cereal here. And then I would put some form of entertainment or publication here, and I'd put a box of Lucky Charms and marshmallows over here. Grape nuts box isn't all that fancy. It doesn't have the little cartoons and prizes inside, and quite honestly, it's not very tasteful. Unless you're into that sort of stuff. Lucky Charms, man, it's got the leprechaun and prizes and all the good stuff. But I know. I didn't have to be a rocket scientist. I know one is better for me than the other. I know the grape nuts is what I should be eating. But man, Lucky Charms and marshmallows, I mean, come on. How many hasn't, you know, eaten all the ones so you leave all the marshmallows at the end? We know the grape nuts is better for us. We know. Picking up that Bible off the end table is reading it better than picking up our phone. Oh, come on now. We know. We know what's better for us. But yet it's so much more interesting sometimes to pick up and see what happened in the last 5 minutes where I wasn't on Facebook. If I truly understood how important the Word of God is, then I would set time aside and say, wait, I need to interact with the Word of God. It has transformation power. It has abiding power. There's no mystery why people who lose out and walk away, it's not because they're reading the Bible more. It's because they're interacting less with the Word of God and the things of God. I'll move on. Surely the Bible is amazing in the sense that it can be medicine for sick minds and spirits. It can help us. It can give us basic, simple nourishment for our spiritual sustenance. But what about it becoming a delight? What about, as the psalmist says, delight in the law of God and meditate day and night? Where's that tipping point, if you will, where I get to a place where I truly want to interact with the Word of God? I truly want to know the Word and what it says. I truly want to have. And here's the thing. They've done this throughout our fellowship. They've looked. Those young people who are involved in Bible quizzing, who take time to memorize the Word of God and put it in their heart. Sure, it's competitive. Sure, it's a scheduled thing, and sure, it's fun. They go and they have trips, and they compete, and they have these meets and all this other stuff. But the retention ratio of those individuals and those young people who have hidden the Word of God in their heart is exponentially better than young people who do not memorize the Word. That in alone should be proof, and we should understand that taking that word, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In other words, it's so important. It creates a buffer. It is the guardrail on this treacherous road of life, which keeps me on the straight and narrow. I need the Word of God. Hearing the Word. God often breaks through to us by His Word. We do not reach Him with our thinking, our investigation, but like rain on parched earth, His Word soaks its way into our lives, and thereby we become fruitful. His Word soaks into our lives through reading His Word, through anointed preaching and teaching that comes from God-ordained men as they teach, men and women who teach the Word of God. And through the ministry of the Word, God is able to get His thoughts through to us. I know it's happened many times for me. I know it's happened for others here, and quite possibly everybody in here. Something that you have been thinking about, or something that you have been praying about, or something that you have been meditating about, and you come to service, and all of a sudden the preacher preaches, and what he preaches about, you have been thinking about. But something happens in the middle of the preaching where God breaks through, and understanding happens, and all of a sudden His thoughts and His ways are now made manifest in your mind, and you understand, yeah, now I know what to do. It's often the way it works. I'll give the example found in Acts chapter 8. Many of us know the story of the Ethiopian, and Philip runs to him. He's in the chariot. Philip, the Bible says, Acts 8:30, ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? But I love the response of the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, how can I understand except some man should guide me? He was reading the Word. He was trying to understand what he was reading. Philip, God, many of us know, took him into the desert. And there he sees this Egyptian in the chariot, and he draws alongside. And he says, do you understand what you read? The Ethiopian says, well, how can I understand except a man should guide me? See, we need to understand, we need teaching, instruction in righteousness according to the Word of God. Paul declared in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. This declaration indicated the Bible is comprised of instructional applications that are to be conveyed to the church through the medium of teaching. To be a Christian is more than warm feelings and positive attitudes and good deeds. I'll say that again. To be a Christian is more than warm feelings and positive attitudes and good deeds. The Bible is filled with doctrines that must be studied and taught so we can comprehend them. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. What we believe and what we think affects what we feel and what we do. And so I need to understand more distinctly and clearly, as they did on that day, as Ezra the scribe taught and the Levites, I need to understand the scripture. Nehemiah chapter 8, you'll have to read it for yourself. I don't have time to go into it. But Ezra's reading. And as he's reading, the people realize there is a festival. It's called the Festival of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles, that they have not observed for some time. It's been years since the people of God have observed this feast. They recognize it in the reading of the word. What's interesting is their response. They did not look back at Ezra and say, "That's good, preacher, but that was so long ago. That's good, preacher, but aren't we beyond that now? That seems to be outdated and archaic. To make booths and to live in little hovels that we make. We have houses now. It just doesn't make sense to do all that, to observe that. Shouldn't we just let that go and not make it a practice anymore?" It's not what they said. Immediately, they obeyed. They responded. God help us. What would our world be like? From the least to the greatest, we begin to open the book and begin to read it and say, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to live. Every family, everybody great and small, took time to get into the Word of God and thereby pattern their lives. What joy there would be. What joy there would be in serving God, in living according to His Word. In a few moments, our classes are going to be returned. Lord, help me recognize how important it is.
Order my steps in Your Word. Order my steps in Your Word.
Since You really made it the world.
Your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in Your Word. Order my steps in Your Word. Order my steps in Your Word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me. In Your Word, order my steps in Your Word. I want to walk worthy, my calling to fulfill. Please order my steps, Lord, and I'll do Your steps in your word.